Hello everyone and welcome to Orbital, the Gadgets 360 podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about the OnePlus 8T, which is, I guess, a bit of a deja vu because Royden is here once again, Gadgets 360's deputy reviews editor, to talk about this smartphone. We spoke a couple of weeks ago about some leaks around this device and what we know so far.
Yes.
Now I think you've been using the phone for a week and you've reviewed it and you are in a much better position to comment on this, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So I wasn't lying back then when I said I didn't have the unit, which I didn't. But yes, now I actually do, and I have been using it for a week. And yes, let's talk about the much-awaited OnePlus 8T.
Yeah, all right. So, well, namaskar, Royden.
Shoot, I forgot that again. But yeah, namaskar, Pranay.
Yes, so namaskar. I'm your host Pranay Parab, and today we are going to be discussing the OnePlus 8T in depth and talking about things such as where the company is going with its premium lineup of smartphones, what we can expect in the near future from this company, and, well, obviously some things about whether you should buy the OnePlus 8T or not. So first, let's start with the pricing of the OnePlus 8T. Royden, I believe you have all the information, so why don't you just lay it out there for us?
Yep. So OnePlus 8T is gonna be starting at 42,999 or 43,000, and there will be again two variants. So you'll have 8128, which will be 43,000, and there will be a 12256, which will be 46,000. So a lot lesser than the current OnePlus 8 with the same RAM and storage configurations.
Yeah, true. So the OnePlus 8T, I think. The pricing looks pretty decent to me because if just to recall the pricing of the OnePlus 8, we had a 6GB RAM, 128GB storage variant, which was,
yes,
I think, India exclusive at launch.
Yes, it was. And it was only exclusive to Amazon. However, this time, at least from what OnePlus has told me, there won't be any such exclusive variant or even a 6GB variant at launch, at least. So basically,
yeah,
just two variants, yeah.
I don't think that 6GB variant makes sense to get anyway. The reason for that is not that 6GB is not enough for anybody today. But you're getting a smartphone this expensive, you probably want to use it for 3 years at least. And at that time frame, having that extra little bit of RAM is always going to be good. I mean, we are not too far away from that quote from, I think, who was it? Huawei's executive, who had once said that 4GB of RAM is more than enough for every Android smartphone out there. And nowadays, you see, like, top-end variants have 12GB RAM in most phones.
Correct.
So, the requirement, I mean, I guess, like, you can just think of Android as, you know, Google Chrome, and the RAM requirement never goes down. So, in a few years, having that extra 2GB will just help keep your smartphone feeling a little more fresh. So I think this is a good move to scrap that variant, the 6GB RAM variant,
yeah,
and having, you know, 8GB as the minimum on the OnePlus 8T. So the higher variant is also a pretty decently priced, because if I remember, the OnePlus 8's highest variant, the 12256 variant, was at 50,000 rupees. So this time around, it's a little less, right? So that's good.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, as we keep talking about or discussing the OnePlus 8T further, I think it will become apparent why they had to, you know, price this aggressively as well. So yeah, from a value perspective, I think the 8T is definitely better value than the 8, especially because you are getting a few more features and at a lower price. So, you know, that's a win-win, I would say.
Yeah. True that. So, I think if you look at the OnePlus 8, the current pricing of that, well, not current, well, we are recording this on the 14th of October.
Yep.
The Amazon Great Indian Festival sale begins on 16th of October. So, from 16th of October, the OnePlus 8 will be available for some time at a lower price. Starting price is 40,000 rupees.
Yep.
And I think there is the 8GB RAM variant will go at 42, and the highest variant will go at 45 to 256. So, at that time, it's going to be pretty interesting whether you choose to pick the 8 or 8T, but my money will be on the 8T. The price difference is so less, and you're getting so many new features, which, Royden, I'm sure you'll talk about in a bit.
Yeah.
Those improvements may seem a little minor, but for 1,000 rupees, I think it's a no-brainer. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even with the sale price of the OnePlus 8, I don't think that's a good enough incentive to, you know, pick it up over the 8T. Now, it's still hard to say when the 8T will actually be going on sale, because, you know, and we know it's launching today, but we don't know when it's actually going to go on sale. So that is something that we still have to find out. But I would say, I have a feeling that they would launch it after these sales, or at least put it on sale, because I mean, it just doesn't make sense to have the 8 and the 8T at a similar price. I mean, nobody would actually pick up the 8. So unless OnePlus, permanently drops the price of the 8 to well under 40, I would say just, put your money on the 8T for now, if you do want to spend around 40 to 45,000 on a OnePlus phone.
So I actually know a few people who are looking to upgrade right now, and some of these people have the OnePlus 6T, or similarly, well, let's just say the senior citizens of the OnePlus family is what they have, and they are looking to buy a new smartphone. And they were asking me if they should get the OnePlus Nord or the OnePlus 8. So I was telling them, well, 8T could be expensive, so just get the 8. It'll go on sale, and the price will be a little lower. But now I'm reconsidering that after like hearing what you had to say in the review. So let's first talk about the new features in the OnePlus 8T versus the OnePlus 8. What do you gain in the smartphone, and in your opinion, are those features some useful additions or just gimmicks?
So, first of all, I think we need to just, lay it out there that if people were expecting the OnePlus 8T to be like the 7T from last year, because the 7T was a massive jump when you compared the 7, compared to the 7 at least. Unfortunately, it is not the case this time, which is again another reason why OnePlus was able to price it lower. So the 8T does get some improvements. There are some new additions and features to the 8, but it's not a whole lot. So first of all is the physical design itself. It looks slightly different, especially from the back, and I think it looks nicer. You have this new rectangular camera module that's now placed to the left-hand side instead of the center. There is this new aquamarine green color also, that which I think looks superb. And the display is again flat, just like the OnePlus Nord. So unlike the OnePlus 8, which had like a curved side edges for the display, the OnePlus 8T has a completely flat display, which again I think is fine because a curved display looks nice and the phone looks pretty striking. But when you're actually using it, especially when you're typing a message or something, letters on the keyboard, or even if you're playing a game, things at the edges of the screen can be a little tricky to use because the screen slopes on the edges. So that can be a little annoying, at least for me. So I'm glad they went with a flat screen. And even actually OnePlus did come out and say this as well to a bunch of media folks that, based on user feedback, they noticed that a lot of people preferred a flatter screen, which is why they went from a curved to a flat screen. So I'm glad they're listening. So that is one big difference you'll notice. Secondly, it has 65-watt fast charging. So this is again something brand new. This is the first OnePlus phone to support 65-watt charging, or what OnePlus calls Warp Charge 65. But the cool thing about this new charger is that it's not a lot bigger than the current 30-watt charger, but it does have a Type-C output, and it also supports USB power delivery, which means you can fast charge a lot of other devices as well. Through USB Type-C power delivery, which this includes, MacBooks, you have iPads, you have iPhones, and even like some Samsung phones like the S20 Plus will do fast charging up to 45 watts with that charger, which is cool because if you notice previous Warp chargers from OnePlus, they only did fast charging for OnePlus phones, and that's about it. You couldn't fast charge any other device with those chargers, which was a bit of a bummer. So I like this approach that they have. And apart from that, there are a few minor changes or tweaks, I would say, to the 8T. So one, instead of a 90 Hz display, you now have a 120 Hz panel, which is nice. OnePlus says they've also bumped up the touch sampling rate of the display, which that is the res how responsive the display is the moment you touch it. So it's now 240 Hz instead of 180 Hz. So it's on the same level as the 8 Pro. And you get Oxygen OS 11, which again will be coming to the 8 and the 8 Pro as well, but this is the first phone which will have it out of the box. And in that, there are a few new features which I think we've highlighted in a bunch of stories, and if I'm not mistaken, a video as well when Oxygen OS 11 was first announced. And basically it gives now you have a proper always on display, which the display is constantly on. It's not like that ambient mode where you only get a glimpse of your notifications when you pick up the phone. So it is actually always on this time. You also get a proper dark mode from Android 11, which means you can schedule it to automatically kick in you know, from sunrise to sunset or whatever preferred time you want it, and a whole bunch of other different tweaks to the color calibration and stuff like that. So again, nice improvements. And other than that, one other thing that comes to mind is that they are again using UFS 3.1 storage instead of UFS 3, which was there on the 8. There isn't a huge difference in read-write speeds, at least from what I've noticed using some of the benchmark apps, but it's an upgrade nonetheless. But apart from that, there's not much else. You know, like, sadly, it's still the Snapdragon 865, so you don't really have any bump in processing power, which is something I would have liked to see or expected, at least from a T variant. And the cameras are pretty much the same as well. I mean, you do get an extra monochrome camera at the back instead of, I mean, the 8 had 3 cameras, the 8T has 4 cameras. But again, the main sensors are pretty much the same. It's still the 48 megapixel IMX586 Sony sensor. You still have that, you know, same Sony selfie camera, which can only do 1080p video recording. So a lot of other limitations which were there on the 8 are still there on the 8T. So overall, again, it's a minor bump up in, like, you know, specs and features, but not a whole lot that a lot of people were expecting. Like, there's still no IP rating and wireless charging either, which again is quite disappointing, to be very honest.
Yeah, true that. I think that is something we called in the last episode when we recorded it.
Yeah.
The chances of getting IP rating and wireless charging on the OnePlus 8T were slim at best, considering that the 8 Pro is still in the market and there is no 8T Pro this time around.
Yep.
So if they give those two features at this price point, then nobody's going to buy the 8 Pro. Let's just be clear about that.
Yeah.
So that's why it didn't make any sense. And you said one more thing, which I should probably correct right away. We don't have a video on OxygenOS 11 new features, unfortunately, because we are actually trying to make it. But OxygenOS 11 betas were not out for the OnePlus 6T,
which
is what we had at that time.
Yeah.
So that's why we were not able to go through with that. But definitely on the website on gadgets360.com, more information is there on OxygenOS.
Yep.
How do you feel about the software? Because I was hearing some people, I've not personally used it, but I was hearing some people saying that it's a different approach from what OnePlus usually does, which is basically some customizations on top of Android and not like, you know, drastic change of any sort.
So I don't think, I mean, there are no drastic changes as such. I mean, there are some few system tweaks or design tweaks essentially to the UI. So if you use Samsung's One UI, you know, you'll notice that they have a particular style, in the sense if you open one of the stock apps, you'll have the name of that app in like big bold letters on the top, while most of the actual content that you need to interact with is shifted below. So it's easier to reach with one hand. And I think OnePlus is also taking a similar approach. I mean, you may call it mimicking, you may call it copying, but I think it looks good. And it, you know, it looks nice and it's functional, which is all I care about. So I don't think it's a big difference. Like, even I was comparing OxygenOS 11 to 10.5 on the 8 and the 8 Pro while testing this. And apart from these little minor tweaks, like, you know, to the font and the animations and all, there's not a whole lot that's different. So let's say if somebody uses the 8T coming from any current OnePlus phone, I don't think they're going to like completely be frazzled or won't be able to use it or won't know how to figure out where things are. Everything is where it's supposed to be as it is on pre-existing OnePlus phone. So it's not, you know, they've not made changes just for change's sake, which is nice. So there are subtle improvements and I think it looks nice. Like, I'm happy with it. So,
yeah, true that. I mean, as long as it works just fine, it's not, you know, changed so much that if people can't use it, I think.
One thing actually I do want to point out, which I'm sure many people will again be asking about in the comments. Just like the OnePlus Nord, the 8T does come with Google's you know, dialer and messages app. So when I asked OnePlus about this, they did mention that the 8 and the 8 Pro will continue to use OnePlus's dialer and messages app even after Android 11 update. However, for now, at least, the 8T and the Nord will be the only phones which will have Google's dialer and messages app. So that is, again, something, you know, I guess some people should be aware of, because I think some people who have used existing OnePlus phones really like the features offered by their own messages app and dialer app. So, again, this was a huge point of contention, if you remember, for the OnePlus Nord as well, where people were pretty irate about you know, how do we get the OnePlus dialer and you know, messages app back on the Nord? So for all those kind of type of people, yeah, you might want to keep that in mind as well before you take the plunge.
Yeah, true that. I like how you started that very politely by saying that, you know, some people had an issue with it. It turns out that any person who watched our video on the OnePlus Nord had, like, we had done a tips and tricks video on our YouTube channel. And the first thing we showed was, look, you can do call recording and it gives a warning that says that the call is being recorded, which is heard by both you and the other person on the call. So that, I think, irritated a lot of people and they were all asking how to, like, do automatic call recording on this one without giving that warning and all that. I mean, we had done another video on that, done a tutorial also on gadgets360.com, but the short answer is that you probably can use a third-party app, but the solution is not as elegant. The call recording quality is not that good. So it's unfortunate. I'm not entirely sure why they've gone with Google's messaging and dialer apps on this one, and in the future, in future phones as well, I'm guessing that's what's going to happen. My best guess would be they probably have some kind of a deal with Google, or maybe Google forced them to use it or something in these releases, because they are not the only ones doing it. You know, I think Realme has also changed to Google Dialer in recent smartphones.
Absolutely. So there's definitely something there, although I don't think anyone is openly, you know, saying what the actual deal is, and neither did I get any straight answer from OnePlus. So, but yeah, I'm guessing we can see this trend going forward as well from with future phones. So.
Yeah, true that. So that's just like, in a way, a bit sad because OnePlus spent all these years developing messaging and dialer apps that people really like. And now, you know, many people are a bit upset with what they offer. However, honestly, I don't think it's that big a deal. If you're recording a call, it's totally fair to let the other person know that you are recording.
Exactly,
So I don't see a problem.
Unless you have some weird hidden agenda, which, you know, let's not get into that, but whatever.
Yeah, I mean, see, even in journalism, we are taught that doing a sting operation of some kind is like the last resort. You don't do it unless it's, you know, there's no other alternative. In most cases, I mean, in my career, at least, I don't think that there's been a single instance where I've not informed the other person that I am recording the call. So I don't see the fuss about this, but clearly it's a very important feature for a lot of people. But anyway, moving on, let's talk about another thing that I guess a lot of people are always concerned about when new OnePlus phones come around, and that is the camera setup. So this time around, well, from what I can see, not much has changed, but in terms of the camera output and other tweaks that were made, have you seen any difference in the results? Because I believe that the OnePlus 8 Pro really nailed it in terms of the camera quality, except for the selfie camera.
Yeah.
But with the OnePlus 8, we did not have that great a result.
Yeah, so so the camera quality is good, I would say. Probably not as good as the 8 Pro. Because the 8 Pro also has much better sensors for the wide angle, and it even has a telephoto. So definitely if you're looking at things like, you know, zoom performance and all, it's not going to be as good as the 8 Pro. But I did find, like, if you're shooting primarily just using the main camera under good light, like in daylight and stuff, I think it does a very good job. Like, I was comparing the photos, a few photos with the 8 and the 8 Pro as well. And it's pretty good. It's similar, again, very similar to the 8, because again, the 8 has got a whole bunch of updates from the time I initially reviewed it as well. So a lot of things probably has changed. So it is, again, on par with the 8, slightly probably weaker than the 8 Pro. But overall, I don't think a lot of people will be complaining about this. Now, one thing I want to say is that the macro camera in the 8T is slightly better than the 8 because it's a 5 megapixel sensor instead of a 2 megapixel. So, you know, photos do look a little better and you have a little more resolution to play with. However, it's still not as good as the 8 Pro's implementation, which actually uses, you know, the wide-angle camera to capture macros, because the wide-angle camera does have autofocus. So you actually get really crisp close-up shots with, you know, natural background blur as well. So again, not on the par with the 8 Pro, but an improvement nonetheless. Now, there is a monochrome sensor which they've added for what I feel is just to have that quad camera badge, to be very honest. But it is there. If you're into black and white photography, you know, you can use that. But again, it's the use is very limited in the sense it's only really used when you are in photo mode and you choose that mono filter. And even then, it's not using that monochrome camera to actually capture the shot because it's just a 2 megapixel sensor. So you're still capturing the photo using the main 48 megapixel sensor. But I'm not sure, again, why you need a separate camera just to apply a black and white filter. But it's there if you want to use it. I didn't find much use for it. Finally, let's see, selfie camera is again decent, not so much in low light, but in daylight I did get some pretty decent shots. And quickly touching upon video as well, it's again the similar functionality as the 8. You can shoot up to 4K 60 with the main camera. Like I mentioned earlier, the front camera is still limited to 1080p, but it does do stabilization, which, and it does work pretty well as well. However, OnePlus has added some 3 new features to the camera, in the sense, in the software features to the camera app. So one is focus tracking. So now you can sort of tap an object on the screen, and the focus, you know, the autofocus reticule will sort of follow it as it moves around, which is nice. But again, it's a software feature. I'm pretty sure they can easily bring this to the 8 and the 8 Pro as well. So that is something new that's there. There's also video bokeh, which only works for people. So if you're shooting a person, you in video, you can have like a portrait effect while you're recording a video, which again is nice. And finally, there's nightscape video. So essentially what this does is it just basically boosts the ISO or the exposure when you're shooting in low light. So, you know, things, everything looks brighter. But again, because you're artificially boosting the exposure, there is a bit of grain as well that's introduced. So the footage is a bit noisy, but it is brighter. So these are 3 new features, I think, that have come in the 8T. And I'm pretty sure these should be coming to the 8 and the 8 Pro as well. Once, you know, Android 11 comes to them and the camera app is updated. But that's pretty much it again. Overall, the cameras are good. Not as great, but as expected, it's somewhere on par with the 8, just like, you know, how the 8 performed. So I'm not too upset about it. It's a good camera.
Yeah, okay. So basically what I hear is that those who are eyeing the OnePlus 8 or the OnePlus 8T in terms of camera performance, they'll get somewhat similar results. 8T is marginally better, as is expected, considering it's newer. And the best guess is that most of these tweaks are to do with software enhancements rather than outright better hardware.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So that sounds fair enough. I mean, I don't think that's going to discourage anyone from buying the OnePlus 8T, which is what we were looking for.
Yep.
Now, let's quickly hear about the magic of that 65-watt charger. What can it do? How long does the battery last?
So, in my experience, I mean, it's, again, a slightly larger battery. That's something which we didn't touch upon. So, it's a 4,500 milliampere battery compared to the 4,300 milliampere battery, which was there in the 8. So, it is, again, a slightly larger capacity. And... you know, I was easily able to get like about a day and a half to even 2 days, depending on the type of usage. So I don't think many people are going to have a problem. Like even with the always on display, I was easily able to cross a day with, you know, medium to light usage, which was, you know, a bit of gaming, browsing, watching a few videos, etc. So it's good. The fast charger is definitely helpful. I mean, OnePlus says that you can charge it fully in about 39 minutes, but I think in my experience I found that it fully charged close to roughly 45 minutes, more than 39. But anyway, in 45 minutes, essentially within 45 minutes, you can go from 0 to 100, which is good. But apart from that, you can also charge a lot of other devices. So, you know, if you have if you use like a laptop with a Type-C port or Type-C charging, like the new MacBook Airs, or if you have an iPhone or any other device, like even the S20 or any other Android phone that supports USB power delivery, then this one charger essentially can fast charge a whole bunch of devices, because if you the output rating, it has many different wattages for the output. So it will adapt to the device you plug it in and fast charge that as well. So again, I think it's a good addition. One thing I do want to say is that the 65-watt charging that the 8T does definitely seems similar to what Oppo and Realme are using, because, you know, I did have 65-watt chargers from Realme and Oppo lying around, and, you know, for lulls I did plug it in, and, you know, what do you know, it does show warp charge 65 on the 8T. So I think the 65-watt part is definitely the similar tech that, you know, I think most BBK group companies are sharing. So I don't think
Come on, man. Now you're just like being very, very mean to them. They're all independent companies. There's no connection between them. All the research they do is totally independent. There's no part sharing whatsoever. I don't believe any of this.
Fine, OnePlus just happened to have the same technology as Oppo and Realme. But yeah, basically the 65 watt part is common. So you can basically fast charge at 65 watts using either the Realme or Oppo. And I'm probably even Vivo, although I didn't have a 65 watt Vivo charger with me, but I'm pretty sure even that would work. So yeah.
Yeah, true. I mean, I'm gonna just say one thing here, which is enjoy these chargers while you get them in the box, because Apple has now decided that you don't need charging adapters in the box. So now I think this is the time, the next year or so, we will have Android manufacturers making fun of it before they also eventually adapt the same practice for the benefit of the environment or whatever other reason that these companies want to give.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's that. But you know, one thing I definitely worry about, which is something maybe we'll talk about eventually in another episode of the podcast, is whether these crazy fast chargers have a negative impact on the long-term health of the battery. Now, I'm not saying that I know anything about the subject. I don't. But it just, you know, if you just think about it from a physics standpoint, it just seems kind of crazy to be charging these phones that fast. And there has to be some kind of a downside, like the battery may be at a higher temperature while charging, or some other similar factors may be impacting the long-term battery health. So, for example, right now, if you have a normal charging behavior with like normal, let's say 10 or 15 watt charger, your battery will be, let's assume, at 80% of its original capacity within 1 year. Whereas if you use these faster chargers, is there a negative impact that maybe makes it, you know, 75% of the original capacity or 70%? Now, that's something that we'll eventually talk about. It's a question that I've been thinking about for a long time. And I do mean to talk to some experts in this charging field to figure out whether there is actually a negative impact here or not. But for now, at least for the first year of using the smartphone, I don't think anyone's going to complain that their fast charger is bad or something. It's definitely a good thing to have.
Yeah.
So, you know, some other things to ponder about later. Now, let's talk about the performance. So, I believe that a lot of people still attach way too much importance to the processor and specifications, especially people who are buying smartphones online. And OnePlus is a company that, you know, definitely has a huge fan following online. So, what do you get in terms of the processing power? And is there any reason for people to be upset with this?
No, absolutely not. I mean, even though we were expecting the Plus variant, because, you know, most of the T refreshes have had the slightly faster Qualcomm chipset that usually launches mid-year. But it's they haven't used it this time. And I think it's fine. I don't think many people are going to notice any difference, because even the 865, it's not like it was, you know, pushed to its limits on the 8 and the 8 Pro. There was still plenty of headroom, which was unused or untapped power, because most of the apps, even the most demanding games, I highly doubt that really, really stresses the 865 at the moment. So again, performance, there's barely any difference when you compare to the 8 and the 8 Pro. Like, at least you will not notice it for sure. Everything is speedy. The 120 Hertz is really good. I mean, you know, scrolling and stuff is super smooth and responsive. Games at the moment don't seem to take advantage of the high refresh rate on the 8T just yet. But OnePlus does say that it will be adding official support to some games like Fortnite, like 90 FPS support or something, via an update in the future. So at the moment, games don't take advantage of it, but it's there, and it's just a matter of time before, you know, OnePlus enables support for those games with high refresh rate. But apart from that, it's good. I mean, I had no issues with, you know, HDR content looks good as well. The stereo speakers are great. You get Dolby Atmos, so they sound really loud. And stereo separation is also pretty good. At the time of this review, again, the Netflix app wasn't detecting the display as HDR capable, so I couldn't get HDR content to play through Netflix. However, YouTube locally played files, and even Prime Video had no problem, you know, playing HDR stuff. So overall, I think the performance is very good, again, on par with the 8 and the 8 Pro. And I don't think anyone is going to complain about it. You know, I mean, there's plenty of RAM and storage as well. So again, there's no issue over there.
Yeah, true that. So I think the complaints will only come from those who absolutely must have the bragging rights of having the latest and greatest Android processor out there.
Yeah.
And there are certain smartphones such as the ROG Phone 3, which are at, I think, a starting price of 50,000 rupees or thereabouts, that give you this processor. So some people might want to have that and they may care about things like having the best possible frame rate or something while gaming.
Yeah.
Then for those people, the ROG Phone 3 is a pretty decent option. But the OnePlus 8T is also not a gaming phone exactly. You can play games on it. There should be no problem. But it's not a dedicated gaming device. And as such, for the purpose that it is built for, I don't think the 865 is going to disappoint anyone in any way. I think that processor is going to be relevant even around this time next year. Because... you know, in the world of Android, it is the pretty much the number two processor right now, and it performs fairly well. So, not too many complaints on that front. Now, I think let's move on from the OnePlus 8T and talk about some other things. So, let's once again make some guesses about what's coming next. So, the 8T Pro is definitely not coming this year. That's something that OnePlus has confirmed.
Yeah.
So, I guess sometime next year when the OnePlus 9 shows up, that's when we'll see major updates in the premium end of the segment, because... Yeah. I don't think there's much to I don't think there's much low hanging fruit left for OnePlus to fix anymore. Maybe the OnePlus 9, the base variant itself, will have IP rating and wireless charging support, but that's, you know, something that remains to be seen. But what about the OnePlus Nord series? I definitely think that 2020 has at least one more OnePlus Nord device coming into India. What do you think?
So yeah, there is a possibility. I mean, we've been hearing rumors about, you know, OnePlus planning on doing announcing some new Nord phones towards the end of October. So it could happen. Again, it's hard to say. There were also rumors that since the original Nord didn't launch in the US, we might have new similar Nord phones with maybe different model names or something launching in the US, two of them, in fact. So again, that is something that remains to be seen. But if the rumors are true, then we should hear more about this by towards the end of October, I'm guessing.
Yeah, just make it cheaper than the OnePlus Nord. That's all I want. Make it a OnePlus Nord Mini or something at 19999, and that's it. I don't think there's much more to ask.
That'll be great if they come up with something like that. Let's see.
Yeah, true that. I'm really waiting for that, because for me, while flagship devices are great, if you get a decent software experience at a much more accessible price, that would be a big win. And OnePlus's software has traditionally been pretty good, free of most bloatware, unless you count, you know, some stuff like Facebook and Instagram that most people would want on their smartphone anyway. I think, you know, in the sub 20K segment, they would, create a splash, if I can use that kind of a term. So that's something that, you know, we could look forward to. Apart from that, what's on your wish list for the next OnePlus phone that comes in? I mean, it doesn't have to be a Nord, but from the OnePlus 8T, what do you think is missing that they could still improve?
I mean, just the obvious ones, I think. I think definitely add waterproofing and wireless charging across the range. I mean, Apple has done it. Pretty much everyone has done it. So I'm not sure what's stopping OnePlus from doing this as well. So I would really like to see at least the premium phones, whatever they launch, you know, pro or non-pro model, it doesn't matter. But if it's a premium phone, I want to see an IP rating. And wireless charging. It need not be like 30 watt or 50 watt wireless charging, but at least give me basic 15 to 20 watt wireless charging. I think that's something that is expected and something that they should deliver to customers who are paying, you know, more than 40, 45,000, which is not a small amount. So again, these two things are of, I think, I would really like to see. Other than that, I mean, I think they pretty much nailed they've always been pretty good with displays, so I don't think that's an issue over there. I'm hoping that they finally get rid of this stupid selfie camera and, you know, just use the one in the Nord, you know, to like do 4K, because like literally everyone is doing 4K with this front camera now, and which is really handy, especially for people, you know, stuck at home who want to vlog and stuff like that. A higher resolution is always handy. So I think that is probably the next in line for an upgrade. And yeah, that's about it. I mean, I can't really think of anything else that needs like a major shakeup or a major, something that's really majorly missing as such from the 8.
Okay, fine. So I'll throw this curveball at you. Okay. What if they take the charger out of the box and give you IP rating, or let's just say IP rating and wireless charging are coming, but the cost is that the charger goes out of the box. Would you take that deal?
I think I would be okay with that, because but let's say, yeah, that's actually a good point, but if they give me wireless charging and, you know, IP rating, I'm fine with not having a charger, because again, this might not apply to everyone, but I do have a bunch of chargers from many different phones, and as long as it supports USB power delivery, I think almost every phone should at this point. I don't think it should be a problem, mixing chargers or using another charger to fast charge this. So I think eventually they would do that. And at that point, I'm guessing, fast charging over power delivery should ideally be more commonplace if it isn't already. And so then I don't think it's going to be as big a deal as it is right now. But again, the initial shock is always going to be there, right? I mean, you remember when Apple took out the headphone jack as well. And at the moment, it's like you don't really care. That's not a feature you even look for anymore. So I'm guessing we will eventually get to that point where it's like, okay, fine. Like not having a charger in the box of a brand new phone is kind of normal. But yeah, I guess I would be fine with that. As long as if you give me more practical features, I don't mind a few missing accessories in the box, I guess.
Yeah, true that. Actually, if you think about it, you can't really pay extra to add IP rating or wireless charging to a smartphone.
Yeah.
But you can definitely like pay a little extra and get the charger later, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's something that you can afford to do. So that's probably why even I would take that deal. However, at this point, let's just clarify that we are not for this decision of removing these things from the charger. Even Apple should have shipped a pair of free AirPods or, that 20-watt USB Type-C charger that they have in the box instead of taking it out of the box and charging, 1,20,000 and 1,30,000 for their Pro lineup. It's just bonkers to think about like what they're doing in terms of giving you basic stuff in the box. So, anyway, that's a separate discussion altogether. For now, with OnePlus, I think they have pretty much closed the gap with all these premium flagship devices. Just a couple more things to go and I think they will be on par. And the pricing will reflect that. They will be at about 10,000, 15,000 rupees less than these flagships, at least for their OnePlus 9 and whatever the number range of OnePlus smartphones, if I can call it that. So with that, we'll close this episode of Orbital. We'll be back with one more episode next week. And in the meantime, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at Gadgets360. You can also check out the full review of the OnePlus 8T on Gadgets360.com. All the coverage is over there. Camera samples and other stuff are also there. Should definitely check those things out before making a buying decision. And finally, if you're on any podcast app of your choice, such as Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts, you can rate this podcast, review it, and subscribe to it. These things, they help us a lot. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week.